It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Impeachment trial starts today.
Just a hoax. It's the witch hunt that's been going on for years.
That is our top story this Tuesday. In 1 hour from right now, history will unfold in Washington, D.C. as the U.S. Senate chamber becomes a courtroom for the next few weeks. It's the impeachment trial of President Trump.
What we're really expecting is organized chaos as the Republicans and Democrats debate exactly how this impeachment trial will proceed. So now, for the third time in American history, the fate of the president is in the hands of just 100 senators.
That's correspondent Chip Reed on Capitol Hill, where Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is giving lawmakers just 24 hours over the next 2 days for opening statements that drew a strong rebuke from Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
And something as important and serious as impeachment, Senator McConnell's resolution is a national disgrace.
Schumer says the accelerated schedule, though, isn't the biggest problem with McConnell's rules. The majority leader also requiring votes to admit evidence Democrats gathered in the House. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich.
Impeachment is an extraordinarily political act and was designed to be an extraordinarily political act. The Founding Fathers basically said, if you have a president who is so terrible that they're a threat to the Republic, you do have a mechanism to get rid of them.
Gingrich says this impeachment trial, though, stands in stark contrast to the Clinton trial 20 years ago.
The problem the Democrats have had is that their big moment, their Ken Starr moment, was the Mueller report. And the Mueller report was the opposite of the Ken Starr report. Mueller said in the end, gosh, I couldn't find anything. So they went out and made this up. That puts them in a very difficult position.
Gingrich says Democrats are trying to play a terrible hand as best they can. California's Adam Schiff will prosecute the case in the Senate. He says the rules outlined by the majority leader proves Republicans do not want a fair trial.
This is a process you use if you want to, hand in hand, working in concert with the president, allow the president to continue to obstruct the Congress and deny the truth to the American people.
A supermajority vote of 67 senators is needed to remove the President of the United States. Again, the trial starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon. President Trump 4,000 miles away in Switzerland as his impeachment trial gets underway. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos earlier today, Mr. Trump called the U.S. economy nothing short of spectacular.
Since my election, America has gained over 7 million jobs, a number unthinkable. I wouldn't say it, I wouldn't talk about it, but that was a number that I had in mind.
The president touting the recent U.S.-China trade deal along with the trade agreement with Canada and Mexico as two big reasons why. The economy in America booming once again.
We discovered our spirit and reawakened the powerful machinery of American enterprise. America's thriving, winning again like never before.
The president says under his administration, the U.S. is no longer the world's personal piggy bank. Bernie Sanders apologizing to Joe Biden for an op-ed from a supporter that accuses the former VP of corruption.
I would appeal to everybody. Have a debate on the issues. We can disagree with each other without being disagreeable, without being hateful.
That op-ed piece was written by former New York Democratic gubernatorial candidate Zephyr Teachout. Second Amendment activists are outraged today with the mainstream media for its coverage of yesterday's massive gun rights rally in Richmond, Virginia. Here's what it sounded like on NBC, ABC, CNN, and CBS.
Thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalists, militia groups all swarming the Virginia state capitol.
Extremists, white supremacists could spark violence.
Threats of violence, white nationalists and far-right militias from across the country.
There's a lot of concern about the potential for violence.
Armed militia, white nationalist groups.
Far-right extremists, white supremacists may cause violence there.
White nationalists are rallying in Virginia's capital.
call.
Antonia Kofor with the group Gun Owners of America is an African-American activist who attended yesterday's rally in Richmond.
This was by far, hands down, the worst white supremacist rally I've ever seen. There were people shaking my hand. They even let me speak, for goodness sake.
The tongue clearly in cheek there. 22,000 people attending the pro-gun rally, and Kofor says the fact that it was so peaceful fiercely bothers liberals.
The left wants to divide this country. And, you know, the right is not going to stand for it. I mean, I saw all walks of life there. And that was the beautiful thing, seeing over 20,000 people, all Americans, coming together over one issue. And that is to protect our God-given right.
Virginia's Democratic Governor Ralph Northam issued a state of emergency ahead of the rally for fear things could get out of hand. The only arrest that was made yesterday was for a woman who was wearing a mask that covered her face. In China, a virus is spreading and prompting concerns in parts of Asia. 6 people have died. Nearly 300 more have been infected.
Once it starts spreading from person to person, it's really hard to keep people quarantined and keep them away from their loved ones. It's hard to keep healthcare workers away from helping patients out.
That's infectious disease expert Dr. John Torres. He says the coronavirus has been confirmed in China, South Korea, Thailand, and Japan. Prince Harry, now in Canada.
Prince Harry, and yes, he still gets to use the title, arrived in Vancouver last night and was immediately whisked away to rejoin Meghan and 8-month-old Archie. Only hours before, Harry had wound up his job as the senior representative of the royal family at a conference on African investment. Harry and Meghan's exit likely means even more work for Prince William, the future king, who, with his wife Kate, was on duty at Buckingham Palace for the first time primary hosts of a reception.
That's Elizabeth Palmer reporting. Baseball fans called him the captain. A retired New York Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter could be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility later today. If it happens, Jeter would join his former teammate Mariano Rivera as the only players in Big League Baseball to ever do that. The Hall of Fame inductees will be announced tonight. From Cooperstown. Still to come this Tuesday, state budget in New York, human trafficking in Pennsylvania, and small business revolution in Fredonia.
Well, good afternoon to all. A fairly quiet weather story will persist through the rest of the week. Then the weekend comes, and with it, could be snow. We'll have forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, January 21st. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo will take the wraps off a $175 billion state budget proposal today. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, in many respects, the governor's 10th budget speech will be his most difficult to deliver. It comes in a politically charged election year as New York faces an unprecedented exodus of people and a more than $6 billion budget shortfall. Driving the deficit, Medicaid spending. The governor says he does not want to raise taxes on anybody this year, but Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie admits that may be unavoidable. New York is already losing more people to out-migration than any state in America. The budget deadline is April 1st. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. One way the governor may try and close the budget gap is through the legalization and taxation of recreational marijuana. Buffalo Democratic State Senator Tim Kennedy says legalized pot is long overdue.
It's something that's been deliberated for many years. The fact of the matter is, New York State is falling behind the rest of the nation from a criminal justice standpoint, from an economic standpoint. So it's time that New York State steps up and does the right thing.
Pro-family groups, though, say legalizing marijuana will end up costing New York State more down the road. Most New Yorkers are against the state's new bail reform laws. A Siena College poll shows voters are opposed to the idea of getting rid of cash bail for misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies, 49-37%.
This whole thing was rushed through. There was no debate. There was no chance for experts to speak on it. And it's a failed reform. It's failed.
That's Oneida County Sheriff Tom Machel.
People were going to get hurt. People were going going to get killed. All those things that we said, the folks who supported this initiative were saying we're fear-mongering, we're exaggerating. That's not the case. Everything we said that was going to happen has happened.
Machel is part of the New York State Sheriff's Association, which is in Albany today lobbying against bail reform. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of the Little Sisters of the Poor out of Pennsylvania. This marks the first time the high court will hear a contraception case. The House in Harrisburg going to tackle human trafficking this week. Lawmakers expected to vote on a number of bills to combat what they say is an out-of-control problem.
It's time that we stand with victims of human trafficking to send a message. We want to fight to end this egregious industry in Pennsylvania.
Republican State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill.
Victims are trafficked through our state and our districts each and every day. We need to shut off demand.
Officials say human trafficking is a $150 billion industry in Pennsylvania, one of the hot spots for it. There's a push in New York to improve the safety of student athletes at the high school and the collegiate levels. The state wants to require athletic trainers be licensed medical professionals in order to treat injured athletes.
The new law, the licensure, puts us at the same level of other medical professions, doctors, nurses.
Robert O'Malley, the head athletic trainer at SUNY Cortland, right now trainers in training in New York only need a bachelor's degree to take the exam to become board certified. In just a couple of years, though, they'll need a master's degree. The American Red Cross is calling for more local donations as they face a critical blood shortage. Officials say with the flu preventing some donors from giving and winter weather canceling a lot of those blood drives, the organization now has a critical shortage of blood. Beware the bag ban. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Wegmans is issuing a reminder to customers ahead of a change to its plastic bag policy. Starting Monday, January 27th, the Rochester-based grocery chain will be getting rid of single-use plastic bags at all of its Empire State locations. The company will push shoppers towards buying reusable bags to carry their groceries. They'll be available at each Wegmans for 99 cents each, while paper bags will cost a nickel apiece. A statewide ban on single-use plastic bags goes into effect in March. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Buffalo Bills Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly and his wife Jill are taking some heat for endorsing a conservative Christian in the race to replace disgraced Congressman Chris Collins in Western New York. Jill Kelly says the candidate in question, Beth Parlato, is a lifelong friend.
And we want to support her for our district. Really, that is the bottom line. Like, we know her character, we know her intentions, and we both share conservative Christian views.
The Kellys took some flack for tweeting support for Parlato, who's one of several Republicans campaigning for New York's vacant 27th district congressional seat. A special election to fill that seat will take place on primary day, April 28th. Fredonia, New York has made the final five on the next season of Small Business Revolution.
We're so excited. We've been, you know, really pushing for this for about the last month, and when we heard the news, we were just over the top because Fredonia is such a great town. They deserve the recognition.
The Chautauqua County community made the final cut for the fifth season of the hit show. If Fredonia wins the online voting contest, it could cash in on $500,000 in economic development money.
We love our small community. The village is absolutely beautiful, and the businesses have put a lot of time and effort into their storefronts. We're glad we're being recognized.
Today is the final day to cast your online vote. To do that, you can check out the other communities also in the competition. Log on today at smallbusinessrevolution.org. Well, with 59.3 inches of snow recorded so far this winter, Rochester, New York isn't just leading the state in terms of snowfall. It tops the country. In that category, the Flower City has received more snow this winter than any other major city in these United States. As far as the Golden Snowball Competition, which awards the upstate city that's received the most amount of snow, Syracuse currently sits in second place at 45.5 inches of the white stuff, Buffalo in third at 40.2, followed by Albany, New York, 35.3 inches of snow so far. The Golden Snowball will be handed out this spring. Let's send it down court. Sunny's open. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in the NBA. In Brooklyn, Ben Simmons had a triple-double, 34 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, plus 5 steals. Sixers beat the Nets 117-111.
That's that. Stay on course, stay locked in. I'm trusting my teammates and my coaches.
Philadelphia won their fourth straight to improve to 29-16. Brooklyn dropped their fourth straight to fall to 18-24. Trae Young's 42 points and 15 assists, not enough. The Raptors hold off the Atlanta Hawks 122-117. Knicks outscored the Cavaliers 30-14 in the third to pull away for a 106-86 win in Cleveland. Cleveland has dropped 5 straight. Head coach John Beilein.
All those games, 3 games in the last 4 days, long road trip and it was gas.
Both teams now 12-32 on the year. Talk about records. Kemba Walker entered the game against the Lakers 0-28 against LeBron James-led teams. Well, that changed in a big way as the Celtics beat the Lakers 139-107. But Kemba said, why are you surprised about his record?
If anybody, him, you know, if the guy couldn't beat, it'd be him. You know, he's such a great player and he's done so much in this league.
Kemba now 1-28 against LeBron James teams, bettered only by Sherman Douglas, who was 0-30 against teams headed by Michael Jordan. Speaking of great, Derek Jeter expected to be voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame class of 2020 will be announced this evening. Some speculation the longtime New York Yankee will be a unanimous selection. The only other to do that, Jeter's teammate, Mariano Rivera. In action today at the Australian Open, number one seed Ashley Barty, Naomi Osaka, Coco Gauff, Petra Kvitova, Allison Risk, Serena Williams, Madison Keys, and Caroline Wozniacki, who will retire after the Open is over. On the men's side, Sam Querrey is in action tonight along with Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and 6'10 American John Isner, to name a few. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, impeachment trial starts today. Obamacare, a no-go at the High Court, and the two-ton candy bar.
There are many stories surrounding one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. One of them can guide us today. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In his book, When Pride Still Mattered, A Life of Vince Lombardi, David Moranis tells a story about how the legendary coach opened the Green Bay Packers' 1961 summer training camp. The year before, the favored Packers had surrendered a fourth quarter lead to the Philadelphia Eagles to lose the championship. But rather than focus in on what had gone wrong then, Lombardi took his team back to the basics. Gentlemen, Lombardi said, holding a pigskin in his right hand, this is a football. I was reminded of this Lombardi story recently after a discussion at one of our regional Colson Fellow gatherings. The conversation was trying to get at the root of why younger Americans are increasingly attracted to socialism. One of the Colson Fellows, a member of the millennial generation, offered a couple reasons that I found particularly insightful. First, the church has largely avoided a whole host of controversial issues, fearful of telling people what to think, and in the process, failing to help them think through them at all. And second, the historical memory of millennials doesn't reach back to the Cold War and the existential struggle against communism. Now, add to those two realities that the emerging generation was never taught history or civics or economics, shouldn't surprise anyone that socialism has now reemerged as a live option for many younger Americans. Our best response to this, and for all of the issues that lie at the intersection of faith and public life, will have to be Lombardi-like. This will include reflecting on what God intended for human governance, what we can and should expect from those who lead us, and what the limits of government should be. We'll need to relearn the pitfalls of what Jacques Ellul called the political illusion, the belief that all problems today are political and therefore require only political solutions. Today, the political illusion is seen most clearly in those who think that elected officials are either the sole source of our best hope or the sole source of our imminent doom. At the same time, political realities definitely matter. Elections have consequences. The stakes in November's election seems higher than ever. And everywhere we turn, we're being told to pin either all of our hopes or all of our fears on its outcome. So what is a Christian to do? Is there only one legitimate Christian view on all these issues? What does the Bible say about the Christian's role in politics? To which ideas must we remain faithful no matter what? Does God always prefer one candidate over another? How do we know? Our next Colson Center short course, which we're calling Preparing for the 2020 Election, will wrestle with these questions and more. It features an amazing lineup of instructors. Phoenix Seminary's Wayne Grudem will launch the course discussing politics according to the Bible. This is the gentleman, this is a football session that opens the whole course. And then Bruce Ashford, provost of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, will talk about Christian citizenship. Mindy Belts will then walk through the most critical policy issues right now, today, both domestic and international. And then Dr. Jay Richards of the Catholic University of America will critique socialism in all of its modern forms. This Colson Center short course will begin February the 4th and will be held for four consecutive Tuesday nights. Each session begins at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and includes a half-hour Q&A session with the instructors. Each session is also recorded and provided to anyone who signs up, so you don't have to worry if you have to miss a live session. Come to breakpoint.org to register. Most of our Colson Center short courses sell out, and I think this one will too. So please sign up soon. Again, breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
21 minutes past the hour, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got a fairly quiet weather story that'll dominate through the rest of the work week under mostly high pressure. Over the weekend, though, a storm will approach from the south and west. It poses the potential for accumulating snow or a wintry mix to snow Saturday into Sunday. We'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, for this afternoon, clouds, some sunshine, a flurry here and there. High temperatures, 20s, dropping into the teens tonight. Some patchy clouds and starlight. Ample sunshine and not as chilly for tomorrow and Thursday. The high tomorrow in the 30s and the high temperature on Thursday will be up close to 40 degrees.
Okay, Kevin Williams will take it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, January 21st, as the impeachment trial of President Trump gets set to go at 1 o'clock this afternoon in the U.S. Senate. A rules fight appears to be the first punch. Correspondent Bill Rakoff is on Capitol Hill.
The House managers say they're upset with everything from the marathon trial session scheduled to preventing evidence and witnesses from appearing at the trial.
The question before the Senate is, do the Republican senators want to be complicit in the cover-up of the president?
House manager Jerry Nadler.
Any senator who votes to deny a witness, who votes to deny evidence, is voting to cover up the president's crimes and subversion of the Constitution.
Contentious debate is expected over the rules as the trial gets underway in the Senate this afternoon.
Bill Rakoff reporting. President Trump in Davos, Switzerland, where he told the World Economic Forum today the impeachment trial is disgraceful. He touted the U.S. economy and he passed on climate change. Teen activist Greta Thunberg, though, did talk about it, saying business leaders aren't doing enough to address it.
It will require much more than this. This is just the very beginning.
Obamacare will not be taken up anytime soon by the U.S. Supreme Court. Democrats sought an expedited review of a lawsuit that challenged the landmark law, but the justices refused it today. The Supreme Court sent the case back to a lower court for clarification. A prestigious doctors group now calling for guaranteed medical coverage for everyone. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
The American College of Physicians says Americans need either a government-run single-payer system for all or something that offers comprehensive coverage to compete with private insurance. Both have been proposed by Democratic candidates, but the group insists it's not specifically endorsing individuals or any one plan, but that either vision could provide, in its words, the bold new prescription that America's ailing health system needs.
That's Vicky Barker reporting. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Buffalo, New York's Terry Williams. He runs a boxing gym in the Queen City where at-risk kids are punching out their problems.
Just challenging that energy to something that's very positive, it's very constructive, and it's good for the community. Instead of hanging out in the streets, you know, just wasting time, you know, you're doing something very constructive.
and let's make champions in the community. That's my goal.
Yeah. Now, you are a certified USA boxing coach, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, how did this idea come about?
Well, I started, you know, I fought in the military 8 years, and I know how good boxing was for me. I started boxing at a local gym here in Buffalo at Westminster Community House on Broadway and Monroe, and I knew boxing was an outlet. It was something that it challenged my energy. My father wanted me to do something very constructive at the time. My mother, she was a housewife. My father worked at Bethlehem Steel, and I got all sisters. So boxing, to me, was an outlet. It was something that my father said, well, you have to do something very constructive with your time. You're not going to hang out in these streets and just not do nothing. So I was in school, Berger Vocational High School, taking up aviation, and boxing was something that I just gravitate to, and just to learn self-defense, discipline. Now, to be able to come back out and coach and train is just a blessing. It's just something I just love to give back, to work with these kids, to mentor to them, to show them different ways of life. And then also, we pray with these kids, too. It's not about just boxing. We pray, we mentor to them, teach them, this is the way of life. You know, do something constructive with your time.
Yeah. You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Terry Williams from Buffalo, New York, the Bomb Squad boxing program. What a neat story, Terry. Tell us about the kids that are coming into your gym and are punching bags, as you say, getting the knuckles up and putting the guns down. What a great quote.
Absolutely, definitely. And my wife, she's with me. She's a boxing coach, too. She trains. She's an RN nurse, and she volunteered her time to come in the gym to work with me, to train these young ladies that come to the gym, too. You know, we have women of all ages that come in there, want to get in shape, want to lose weight, want to feel good about themselves. So she is very positive in the gym, too. And just mentor to them and teach them, you know, about discipline, self-worth, doing something positive, get your education and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you have any success stories that really stand out in your mind, and examples of where this gym has literally saved a kid's life?
Well, I know that I have trained a lot of kids that they had told me, they said, Coach, I really appreciate what you did for me because I was doing wrong things in the community, in the streets, and how boxing has just really changed my life. And it's not just one. I have many of fighters that I have worked with. And one kid, he came in the gym. He said, I thought that we did something wrong in the community. He was a police officer. I said, what's going on, officer? He said, don't you remember me? I trained here. I appreciate all your training that you showed me. And I was like, wow, I thought we did something bad, officer. But he came up and just was so happy just to say that he really appreciated the training and the work ethic that I showed him. And then he became a police officer. And that just really touched my heart.
Wow.
I was so happy to see him.
Great story. Finally, Terry, it's been great having you on the show today. How has this whole endeavor changed you personally? How do you look at Buffalo differently?
I look at Buffalo as a city. You know, we have to reach out to these young adults, young kids, guide them. And I just really appreciate what I'm doing. It's my passion. I love it. I appreciate it. And I just thank God that he has me doing his work, you know, and I love to give back. And let's make champions in the community. And that's what it's all about.
Punching out the problems in Buffalo. Terry Williams with the Bomb Squad boxing program. Thank you, Terry.
Appreciate it.
That's Buffalo, New York's Terry Williams, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime, fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We've got a fairly quiet weather story that'll dominate through the rest of the work week under mostly high pressure. Over the weekend, though, a storm will approach from the south and west. It poses the potential for accumulating snow or a wintry mix to snow Saturday into Sunday. We'll keep you posted on that. In the meantime, for this afternoon, clouds, some sunshine, a flurry here and there. High temperatures 20s, dropping into the teens tonight. Some patchy clouds and starlight. ample sunshine and not as chilly for tomorrow and Thursday. The high tomorrow in the 30s and the high temperature on Thursday will be up close to 40 degrees.
We'll take 40 degrees. Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, a 2-ton Snickers bar has set a new world's record, the Mars Wrigley Company, creating the 4,800-pound candy bar that's taking a bite out of the record book.
It has to be edible, and it is also an engineering feat. So to get a nearly 5,000-pound bar of chocolate to stay together is really challenging.
Yeah, I bet. Mike Embrick with the Guinness World Records says the Snickers bar was created to celebrate the company's 90th anniversary. Rude Enbers works at Mars Wrigley. He says it took more than 600 people to mix and mold the chocolate, caramel, and peanuts for that gigantic candy bar, which is the equivalent to 41,000 regular size Snickers bars.
We make Snickers every day, and to make a Snickers in this size had additional challenges, obviously, to it.
The biggest candy bar ever made will make its national debut in a commercial during Super Bowl 54 in a couple of weeks. Look for it. It'll be hard to miss. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.